Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Fantastic to hear those cars across the line. Another racing hour about to get underway. And it is the 0-2 Kevin Magnussen car that's making the moves earlier on there, side by side with Ricky Taylor. Jimmy Johnson, with now a new front and rear wing, has just gone off the circuit as he was trying to fight his way through. He lost position, of course, because he didn't get the DPI wave through, Jeremy, and start the front of the field. So Jimmy Johnson's having to pick his way through all the GTD traffic. Got a drive-through penalty as well for the number 26 car. That is the Duquesne of Hugo de Wilde. Too many people over the wall. Jimmy Johnson way off on the grass, trying to go by a couple of GTD cars. I think it was the 32 AMG. And also in there as well, actually very close with the 66 Gradient Acura that was coming through as Jimmy came back on from the grass surface. That could have been very nasty indeed. Oh, there's a touch and a spin. That was the number 3 Corvette getting involved with one of the prototypes. I think he Capsburg there. And the prototype spun, but then got back straight, I think. At the front of the field, Scott Dixon has cleared off by 1.4 seconds. And Jimmy Johnson now is racing one of those challenges that you get on console games where you've only got 4 laps to pass 60 cars and get back on the back of your lead group. That's exactly what it looks like at the moment. Damage to the right front of the number 39 Lamborghini. That's the Huracan with Jeff Westphal behind the wheel. And they are sitting in second in GTD. They were leading. And that car has got damage to the right front. I'm not sure that he can continue there without at least getting his mechanics to have a look at it in the car barn pit. So once again, a fraught restart, I say that, Jeremy. And you've got to, yeah. You've got to give these guys some credit as we come down to the 6-hour mark. Yep. There's points to be had here, but you've got to stay on the track to get them.
Yeah, at the end of this lap, I think the points will be awarded. Let's wait till it happens. But yeah, you're right. And, you know, we talked about it all the way through the race and before the race as well, how tricky it is on these restarts, particularly with the temperatures outside being so cold right now. You know, there's hardly any temperature in those tyres as they get ready for the restart, and particularly difficult for those in the LMP3 category for reasons we talked about earlier on.
The contact between Nicky Katzberg in the number 3 Corvette and the prototype, it was the 47 Motorsport number 7 car. I didn't want to call the number until I was absolutely sure. That was at turn 2, but it has continued. Hugo de Wilde has come into the pits and gone. So after his little incident, that number 26... that was the drive-through, wasn't it? It was the drive-through for too many people over the wall. Cadillac. No, we haven't got a problem on the stream. That is the top four. 0-1, 31, 5 and 0-2, separated by 3 seconds at the moment as they've cleared the traffic. They were at the front of the field. Jimmy Johnson having to fight his way through is 21 seconds behind the Acura of Oliver Jarvis, who sits in fifth position. Johnson in sixth. Ricky Taylor still 2 laps off the lead. They've not been able to use the cautions, Jeremy, since that incident for Will earlier on. He sounded very nonplussed about what had happened there when the car spun and he subsequently got the puncture. But they've not been able to use any of those yellow flags that we've had since then to get a lap back.
Don't think we've had anything since then, actually.
Is that the first one?
Yeah,
is it?
I think it right. is, actually. Okay. Unfortunately, they were on the same sequence as the other leaders. This time they did come in and splash off with fuel. So in terms of the race leader, they are better off on fuel. So if there's another caution now, that potentially could give an opportunity to get one of those two laps back. But at this stage in the game, yes, that Ricky Taylor car is two laps off the pace. They won't be too worried much, you know, too worried about that at this stage, with just one quarter of the race just completed right now. In LMP2, it's number 20 car, Nuka Müller, who will get maximum points, I believe, at that six-hour mark. Second position, number 52, Nicolas Lapierre, who's just managed to get past Fritz van Aert in the number 29 car at the restart. So there'll be second place points, I think, for number 52, which won this championship last year. In the LMP3 category, Colin Brown, I think, was able to make the pass on Rasmus Lind and get maximum points for Core Autosport in car number 54. So that's a big deal for Jonathan Bennett's team. Number 54 car ahead of number 36 on Andretti Autosport. In third position, Sean Creech Motorsports with the Joao Barbosa at the wheel of that car. Those three cars covered by just a couple of seconds at this stage. In fourth position in the class and on the lead lap is Performance Tech Motorsports car number 38, South Florida team. Dan Goldberg driving that car at the moment. In GTD Pro, the number 2 KCMG Porsche, Dennis Olsen, led the way at the restart, maintained that at the 6 hour mark, ahead of the number 62 of Rizzi Competizione, David Arrigon. In third position for Pfaff Motorsports, the team that won the GTD Championship last year, Matt Campbell holds down third position. There's a spin for the Era Motorsport again, car number 18, the LMP2 car.
That's down at the International Horseshoe, Jeremy. Yep. He'd be able to get that pointing back in the right direction. Sorry, that was at the West Horseshoe, I think.
Yeah, and just to complete then, the class is at the 6 hour mark. The number 27 harder racing Aston, I reckon, will have maximum points at that 6 hour mark, ahead of the number 57 Windward Racing Mercedes. That is the car that won this race in GTD last year. Third place in the number 19 for TR3 Motorsport. So that's a rundown, I think, unofficially, of the points. There's some contact down. Contact that sent the number 18 car spinning. I think that was the team hardpoint number 99 Porsche. Rob Ferriel is driving that car at the moment. It's running in the eighth position in GTD.
And 47 Motorsports going around, Jeremy. Just heard the squeal of tyres right in front of one of the GTD leaders. But a masterful catch and point in the right direction. Click down through the gearbox and it's pointing in the right direction already. I don't think that was a mistake. Just gone by the 99 Porsche and then spun right in front of it. Almost took it out as they were going up onto the banks out of the newly named Le Mans Chicane. So that was a close one. Jeremy, sorry, carry on.
I mean, super fast pace at the front here. We're just seeing low 1 minute 34s here by a whole bunch of cars. The race leader got a bit of traffic on that lap, but just within the last couple of laps, we saw, I think, number 5 and the number 02 set their fastest laps of this race. Kevin Magnussen does so in number 2 car that time. Here is the number 99 hardpoint Porsche onto the pit lane after that's been a bit of damage to the right front. And they're going to change all four Michelin tyres on that GTD Porsche. Stop is completed there, it would appear. And finally, Rob Ferriel gets that car back underway again. Running in the top 10, all on the lead lap in GTD. They're the best pace of the GTD in relation to the GTD Pro cars is the 7 GTD Pro cars that kind of are ahead in the GT category. Then the leading non-Pro car, which is Russell Ward, car number 57. So in that case, where is the Aston Martin? The Aston Martin vantage of Tom Gamble all of a sudden is shown in 7th place. I don't know what happened.
Which Aston Martin was that?
27. It was leading the class. And it's now all of a sudden shown in 7th position in that class.
It was Tom Gamble that took that car out, didn't he? Yeah.
So he was leading two laps ago, and it must have been a couple of laps. It must have been right after I was talking about it.
Is that someone else you've cursed, Mr. Shaw?
Yeah. I hope not. Well, I just give him credit for leading at the 6 hour mark, John.
There you go. And when Jeremy's talking about leading at the 6 hour mark, why this is important, it's the Michelin Endurance Cup points that are awarded at interim stages through this race. It's a championship within the endurance, within the WeatherTech, IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, through the longer races. It gives you the opportunity to play a little more strategy games, and it is scored separately from the main championship. And for those people for whom it matters a lot. It is a trophy at the Night of Champions at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta at the end of the season. And some of the teams, Jeremy, who are only doing the longer races, they really prioritise that if they can.
They do. You know, it's a big deal. I mean, winning a championship, it's the same as the overall championship in terms of the fact there's a driver's championship, there's a team championship, there's a manufacturer champion as well. So it is important.
So under 18 hours to go, the splendour of Daytona International Speedway under the light, and from the Haggerty Global broadcast booth over the tri-oval, we get an awesome view of what is going on. The different coloured headlights, the yellow signifying the GT cars and the bright white of the prototypes, in the swan song for DPI here at Daytona, and the top five separated by 4 seconds.
Four by less than a second.
My goodness me. Penalty for the 99. That's the Porsche. Incident responsibility with the number 18. So that's another drive through. Our Porsche keys to the race was minimise mistakes and drive throughs. They're all adding up for some of these teams. And in the meantime, the Carbon car, which we saw in trouble, that's the number 39 Lamborghini. That car has had to go behind the wall. Another car that has been worked on early.
He was right in contention. It was he was battling for the lead there at that restart. So was that involved in that incident down at turn one? Don't know, but that's a shame because that car had been running really, really well.
Into the Le Mans chicane on the far side of the circuit from us, there's a great DPI battle going on between the Cadillac Chip Ganassi.
Mike Conway lost a couple of places
there,
I think.
Yeah, he has. Absolutely has. Because Richard Westbrook and I think and Kevin Magnussen have gone by him. Yes, that is correct. Or is that the 01 coming into the pit lane? It's the 57 Wynwood car coming in, but that's not the prototype. I can see the white lights of coming into the pit lane. That is the number 5 coming in. So that is Richard Westbrook coming into the pit lane. And at that end of the pits is who? Who's down that end of the pits? Andrew, is that your end of the pit lane?
Yes, John, I'm down here with the number 5. New set of tyres going on. No driver change.
Lost you, Andrew, there for a moment.
Number 5 is in the pits.
Is that about the right time, Jeremy, for that car? I'm looking at that's 24 laps, so yes, with a bit of yellow in there. That's
there's a fair bit of yellow in there, and they've got to the they're going to need a pit stop fairly soon. So, why that car lost a position on that lap though is kind of interesting.
It's a quick turnaround for that car. It's already rolling and heading out. I wonder if they had a tyre pressure sensor warning or something like that, and they brought that in. Andrew's down there, and we'll try and get word from the pit lane about why that has happened. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with me, Spooner in orange, K-Mag is on one, fastest car on the track with the last few laps. Leader after the first three make their stops, exclamation mark. Certainly been... I've really enjoyed watching Kevin Magnussen since he came into this season, Jeremy. He's taken to it like a duck to water. We're going to lose him to Peugeot, of course, in the WEC. That's not to say that in the new for 2023, top class here at GTP that we wouldn't necessarily see some of those Le Mans hypercars coming back. It's a measure of the continued partnership between the ACO, IMSA, Le Mans and Daytona, that the backstraight chicane here has been renamed Le Mans, and one of the chicanes on the Mulsanne straight at the Circuit de la Sarthe will be called the Virage Daytona. Pierre Fillon, president of the ACO, was here for a couple of days, I think a flying visit, but was certainly here this morning. I saw him walking around and being very, very complimentary about what he was seeing. And why would you not be, Jeremy, when you look out at what we can see in front of us, the infield and the 61 car starting grid?
Yeah, exactly. A big crowd here. The infield is absolutely jam-packed. There was a lot of people in the stands at the beginning of the race as well, so the atmosphere here is absolutely superb. Many, many people down in the pit lane, in the garage area before the start. There was a mandatory autograph session that all the drivers were taking part in, and maybe an hour and a half or so before the cars were all assembled on the grid. Then all the fans were on the grid. There was a huge crowd down there on the grass here in front of the main grandstand, and the atmosphere was just absolutely fantastic.
So waiting for the 99 Porsche to serve that drive-through. The incident responsibility for the contact earlier on into the pit lane for Nico Müller from the lead of P2 for High Class Racing. And he trundles down the pit lane. Why can't I see him? Oh, there he is. Almost turned his high-class car with no marker lights on the side. It's quite unusual, but the striking red and white livery, this looks like... this might be fuel only, actually. They've got no tyres out on the apron. They're cleaning the windows on the car. Maybe a drinks bottle replenishment. Yes, I think that was... but no offering of a set of new Michelin tyres there for the high-class car. That's quietly gone about its business, the high-class team, Jeremy. High-class by name and by nature. They just tend to get on with it. Meantime, in GTD Pro, the battle's back on again between KCMG and Ricci. That's Ferrari and Porsche. They're on the back straight heading down to the chicane, heavy braking area. They are 22nd and 23rd overall, and it's Dennis Olsen and Davide Rigon. And the second stint for these drivers, and it's the second stint, same as the first stint. Second verse, same as the first verse. They are back at it again. Although, after the pit stops, the KCMG's team did steal a march on Ricci, and they swapped positions in the pit stop cycle. But now, that matters nothing at all, because they're together at the tri-oval. Underneath our feet they go, and down towards turn one.
Yeah, great. So the super battle is at the top seven cars, top eight cars in GTD Pro, covered by about 6 seconds. And Giacomo Altaway in the number 19 GTD regular car, number 19, another Lamborghini, or the best Lamborghini actually at the moment, is right with them as well. He's pulled away a little bit from Richard Leitz in the number 16 Wright Motorsports Porsche. It moves its way up all of a sudden up into second place. Don't think we talked about that car today. In third position is James Davison in the Gilbert Courthoff number 32 Mercedes. They had that bizarre situation with the team where they changed their driver after the roar, after they finished in fifth place, for goodness sake. That was rather bizarre. James Davison had been on the beach in Melbourne, Australia, when he got the call, would you like to
on
come
the
and
Monday
drive
after
here?
And he's in Australia?
Yeah, on the beach. Literally on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got to get from Australia to here. And I think that was the Monday or the Tuesday after the roar. That didn't give him a lot of time.
It didn't give him a lot of time, no.
Guy Cosmo, the driver to miss out.
And he'd never driven one of these. He had driven one of these Mercedes before, but not raced it, he was telling me. But he's settled in very nicely. He's running in the third position at the moment, ahead of Mark Miller in the Gradient Racing Acura. That's the car that had the refueling problem at the first stop. Had to serve a penalty, I think, after that as well. As we see the number 01
24
finally giving up the lead of this race. It had been out front since lap 119. We've now completed 196 laps.
Scott Dixon into the pit lane. And looks like a new pit stop time for Mike Conway as well into the pit lane. 24 lap stint for Scott Dixon. It'll be a 26 lap stint for Mike Conway at that stop. But let's keep our eyes on the Porsche Ferrari battle at the front of GTD. This is as close as Davide Rigon has been for a while. He's got the number 48 prototype, third overall, with Jimmy Johnson coming through them. Can Davide use that maybe to his advantage? Johnson going round the outside, going into the Western Horseshoe. That will mean that the KCMG car has to pinch to the inside and maybe a better exit from the Ferrari. No, can't do that. And then it is Matt Campbell, who's not that far behind this. The Pfaff Porsche is gaining on the two leaders. It's a cracking battle out on the high banks.
Brilliant. So Kevin Magnussen now leads the race with a 0-1 sister car coming into the pits. And the number 0-2 now, that becomes the sixth different leader of this race.
The sixth different car.
Yeah, it's the 13th lead change, the sixth different car.
So six out of the 7 DPIs have led.
Yes.
And which one's the unlucky one?
The car that won last year's championship, caliber 31, has not yet led a lap in this race.
Well, you only have to lead the last one, don't
you? There you go. And in fact, in terms of the championship last season, the only race in which they were leading the points after was the final one.
Kerr and indeed Ching, I think, is what we say to that.
Again, stunning pace at the front of the field by a whole bunch of these guys in this at this stage in the race. The pace is hot.
Davide Rigon spinning up the rear. Michelin's coming out of turn one. It's getting a little bit dusty offline. He goes for the wide over and undercut back. Surely Dennis Johnson won't fall for that one. He's held his line in that number two Porsche with the blue fluorescent tube lighting over the top of the header rails and on the rear wing as well. It's a little more toned down for the Ferrari number 62, Giuseppe Ricci's Ferrari of Houston sponsored and Penske sponsored car. Again, just as Rigon thinks he's getting close, it's the Tower Motorsports prototype, fourth in its category, that comes through them. And then they're going to have the Wins 52 PR Matheson car going up over the top. Now, any chance to grab a bit of aerodynamic advantage? Well, that's what Rigon tried to do. He just slipped up half a lane, maybe a car's width, but again he was thwarted just as he was getting close there. More traffic coming through. You don't want to put yourself off the track at this stage. This is a good run. Porsche, Ferrari, Porsche in the top three for GTD. Pro 2 for KCMG, 62 for Ricci and Matt Campbell for Pfaff. And Gilles Gounon for the number 97 WeatherTech Racing. By far the best of their cars, with problems for the other two, the other AMG GT3 and the full championship Porsche. That car went back behind the wall for a second time. It's the 79 Porsche, and I'm not sure we've seen that car back out again.
No, it's a long, long way down, that car.
Yes, it is circulating though. Cooper McNeil's in it. There is problems though here for the 99 car.
Yeah.
So that's gone behind the wall, had its penalty. So it is not even damage limitation at the moment. They just want to get to the checkered flag in that number 79 car and try and get Cooper McNeil and the rest of the team some points. Once again, traffic. This time it's the Algarve Pro Racing fifth position LMP. And that would be James Allen behind the wheel of the number 69 car, going through that battle for GTD Pro. I'm really liking how GTD Pro has shaped up, Jeremy. I know we won't get the same amount of cars for the rest of the season, but there will be manufacturers and other teams looking at this going, I think I might have a little basin full of this.
I think so. It's magnificent, isn't it? Certainly interesting also how the pro cars have moved their way forward. There's some jockey in for position. Whoa, yikes, one of the Corvettes pushed. Who was that pushed off the road? An LMP?
Was that the, it wasn't the 47 motorsport car again, because that got dinged and spun on the restart by the number 3 Corvette. So normally we talk about the prototypes not giving enough room to the GTs, but it was reversed there by Corvette with Nicky Katzberg at the wheel. Marco Sorensen behind the wheel of the number 4. Yes, that's right, Marco Sorensen. Nicky Katzberg, BMW refugee. Marco Sorensen has driven for a number of other manufacturers.
Kevin Magnussen leads them by about 10 seconds over Oliver Jarvis at the wheel of number 60 Acura. In third position, Jimmy Johnson is about 24 seconds behind Jarvis and still quite a long way ahead of the number 01 car that pitted, of course, just a little while ago. 01, number 5 and number 31 have made pit stops recently because they did not stop during the previous caution period. So Kevin Magnussen and three of the cars since the restart have set their fastest laps of the race. The lap record still stands for Renko van der Zander. That was set back on lap 122, but lap 188, so that was 10 laps ago, Renko van der Zander and Mike Conway, who were then driving the number 01 and the, excuse me, number 31 and, Mike Conway in number 31 and Richard Westbrook, who was driving number 5 car at the time, both set their car's fastest lap of the race. And a couple of laps after that, Kevin Magnussen turned his fastest lap. Wasn't quite as quick as the other two, but it was pretty darn quick. And it's a relentless pace at the front of the field at the moment.
Yeah, and as far as the leaders are concerned, it'll be 2, possibly 3 laps for both the leading 02 Cadillac and the MSR Acura, the 60 in second, and Ricky Taylor still those 2 laps off the lead in 7th position. About the same, 2 or 3 laps there on their 21st lap since coming down to the pits. But back at the front of GTD Pro, it's back on again, and Davide Rigo looking at the back of the KCMG Porsche of Dennis Olsen. These two have raced each other all across the world. They know each other. Rigon now have memorised every decal on the back of that KCMG car. He's been following it since they came out of the pits at the last pit stop. So evenly matched. I know BOP are 3 dirty letters sometimes, but you've got to say, when you look at this, with 2 top drivers, with traffic, with 2 cars of different configurations, mid-engine, low-slung Ferrari, rear-engine, slightly more sit-up and beg Porsche, and yet their lap times, lap after lap, are almost down to the fraction of a second, but they still have their differing strengths and weaknesses. But it is so difficult to overtake if the driver ahead doesn't make a mistake. Yeah, it really is. There's no gimmies here, Jeremy, is there?
No, there's certainly not. And the battles are going to be going on for a long, long time to come. It's just super to see how close they all are still in GTD Pro. And Giacomo Artoe in that number 19 TR3 Lamborghini, he's not running in a pro class, but he's running against the pro class cars. He's passed a couple of them. He's passed to Patrick Astenheim in number 15 Mercedes. He's passed Marco Sorensen at number 4 Corvette, on which we ride on board at the moment. So has Altoy also passed Katzberg then? I think he probably has. I think he's probably directly ahead of him. Yes, he is. That's the red and white car that's directly ahead. So he's also passed Nicky Katzberg. He's got past both Corvettes in the last few laps. And all of these cars, though, are within about 8 seconds of the class, the GT leader, which is still number 2 Porsche of Dennis Olsen, with Davide Rigon in the Ferrari right with him. Porsche against Ferrari there.
2 Corvettes running together, Jeremy. They're feeling their way into this new era of GT Daytona.
Yep.
I like Nick.
Running nicely at this stage. Well, I mean, very,
keep your nose clean, lads.
Absolutely.
Bring them home. They're sitting in 6th and 7th in GTD Pro, but they've got Well, on the scoring, they've got the Lamborghini Huracan of Giacomo
Altuve. Yeah, they haven't come past yet, I think.
They've just gone past. Okay. I liked Tandy's attitude early on about it. Look, it's not as fast as what we're used to, but it's what we've got. And we're learning.
Yeah.
And I think it's smart of them to put two cars in here. They're only running one throughout the whole championship, but they're getting twice the data from drivers that they know very well. It won't do the WEC team of drivers any harm to sharpen themselves up right now either, because frankly WEC, after this 61 car fail, they're doing pretty well. 39 cars for WEC this year, starting the next cycle of DPIs. The 7th place car a couple of laps off the lead, Andrew Marriott, has the Acura of Wayne Taylor Racing.
I certainly do, John. Again, this is what I call a short service. Just a set of tyres going on. Fuel, no driver change down here. And it will be off in just a moment. The peer lap for Acura engine. Really all red blue in that. There we go. Extra tyres. Loads of smoke. And that's the way. And I think I saw the 60 in the distance as well.
You're absolutely right. 0-2. Kevin Magnussen in from second. Oliver Jarvis in from third. Thank you, Andrew. So, as we suggested, those guys are coming in at the end of their 24th lap. So that means that Kevin Magnussen should have three more laps at the end of this one. And that was a very quick... So I reckon... Andrew, was that... Was that fuel only for that stop that you witnessed there, was it?
Negative, John. No, they did put the set of new cover on. I haven't seen anybody double stinting yet. And I've just turned down at 60 now, just checking them out. They're all just coming down to the pit stop. And I think Oliver Jarvis got out of the car.
Correct. He did. Simon Pagenaud is in. Well spotted, Andrew. We've just seen that confirmed on the timing screen. And a very feisty exit from the pit lane by Loic Duval, who wasn't prepared to be held up behind Simon Pagenaud in the 60, and went straight round him as they came out, trying to make up some time and some laps. Kevin Magnussen in the 0-2, just out of the pits. Let's have a word with Ollie Jarvis. Andrew is with him now.
Yeah, Ollie's just stripping his race suit off a little bit. Can tell he's been working hard, Ollie.
Yeah, not too bad. A little bit sweaty, but want to get the clothes off because of the outside temperature. But, you know, we're back on lead lap. I think we're back in the game, and a long way to go, but just happy to be back on the lead lap, and hopefully we can take it to the, you know, take the fight to the front.
Obviously, with this DPI car, very different sort of engine configuration to what you had with the Mazda AER engine last year. Do you feel that at all?
Yeah, a big difference in the driving style, the power delivery, so very noticeable. It's probably the biggest difference, to be honest. A lot more functions with the traction control and adjustability, which, when you get it right, helps. When you don't, it's, you know, there's a lot of information, but... You know, every lap I'm getting more and more comfortable, and, you know, it's a great car, and so far, you know, I've been really impressed.
Well, it was a great end to your time with Mazda to win the final race.
Yeah, I said to the guys, I went to see the Multimatic guys yesterday and just said, you know, by the end we were a very well-oiled machine. You know, they did a fantastic job. We finished on a high, and it's just a shame it couldn't continue, but that's life. You know, move on, and got a new home here at MSR, and hopefully can do a good job for them.
You just did make a cracking session there. I think you took a lap back, didn't you?
Yeah, we got the lap back. And then I'm just having a look at the screen now. I think we're still running P6, but we're back in the game.
On way to go. Thanks. That's Ollie Jarvis from Norfolk.
Thank you very much indeed, Andrew and Ollie. And in that victory at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta at Petit Le Mans, that Mazda was, from memory... the sharp end of three, if not fully three laps down at one stage, and came back to win. It was a great piece of tactics. It was three, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Pretty sure it was.
Yeah. So Scott Dixon leads now. Jimmy Johnson was scored as the leader on the timing screen as he came through. He's out of the 48 now. Kami Kobayashi gets in. That will excite a lot of people. That'll do this race no harm. Side-by-side action on the banking. Down into turn one. 31 Wheeler Cadillac on the inside. 0-2 on the outside. The battle for second position. And there's no quarter being asked or given here. Mike Conway against Kevin Magnussen. Well, what a battle this is going to be. World champion in the endurance series of the FIA versus former Formula One champ, former Formula One driver. And Kevin Magnussen, as we said earlier, has really taken to this form of motor racing. Somebody taking the shortcut there at turn five at the western end. That looked like a right rear puncture for a BMW. I think it's the 95 Turner BMW. And I think that's got problems.
Ooh, that's a shame. That was running well. Seventh position in GTD. So the cycle of pit stops at the front of the field in DPI has now been completed. They're all kind of slightly different strategies at the moment. But 0-1 car back in front. But with only a 7-second advantage over this fantastic battle for second place.
Which has just changed. The 0-2 has just got through, under braking into the Le Mans chicane.
So Ganassi 1-2.
He just, talk about send it. Came from a long way back. There was traffic there. And Mike Conway is not sitting back. He's got the draft. He goes to the high side, coming into the tri-oval. Will try to take the outside line into turn one. They go side by side. Magnussen squeezes him to the middle of the road. 0.001 of a second across the line. And that 24B, that was the 24 BMW that had the problem, not the Turner BMW. My apologies. That car with the white neon around the top of the windscreen and there's smoke coming from the back of that car. Tyre smoke from the right rear, I think. And that must have happened early in the lap. And there's pieces of rubber or bodywork coming off that car. He's down on the apron and coming back towards the pit lane now. That is a car that already has no diffuser under the back. Well, no, there's air in all of the tyres. Ah, not the right front. Not the right front. The smoke being drawn underneath the car and spit out the back. That's what made me think it was a rear tyre, but it's down. It's completely devoid of any rubber on that front wheel as it comes to a halt. New Michelin tyre for the right front. The problem is that there's a lot of rubber detritus and the whole carcass of the tyre is wrapped around the upright and the wheel disc. The mechanic there needs some snips to get that out because the reinforcement is preventing him from getting it out. Ow, 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 that's going to be hot and that is going to be sharp as well. The wheel is taken away, but they can't take the carcass away. It needs to be cut off. The wars for BMW continue in this race.
Yeah, the other car, the other BMW Team RLL car is still, it's one lap only off the pace in GTD Pro. It's running in the ninth position in class, but not out of the realm by any means. It's the number 24 car that's had more problems already. That's already 10 laps behind.
Car coming back from behind the wall is the Ayrton or number 6 Mueller Motorsports America Duquesne. This was the car that had the incident earlier on, LMP3, ninth in class, but many laps down, sitting in 58th position. And it is Ayrton Ori that takes that car back out onto the track. So we have another one back, Jeremy.
We have another one back. That's good news.
So,
yeah, indeed.
So 57 cars still running out of the 60 that started. 61
yeah,
that started, yeah.
Number 34 car isn't running, is it? So,
yes, it is.
No, that was the car that crashed over on the far side.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
I don't think we're probably going to see that car, but only two cars officially retired. You're right. I believe. Not bad after, 6.5 hours.
Slew of GTD pit stops, including for Jules Gounon in the number 97 Mercedes. He's double stinting. Ben Barnicot is in the Lexus. That's the Pro Lexus, the 14 car. Tonio Garcia has just left the pits in the number 3 Chevy Corvette. Darren Turner is in the Aston Martin Vantage GT for Heart of Racing, and a spin for the number 15 WeatherTech AMG GT3. And that's just come out of the pits as well, hasn't it? Yes, it has. So is this a new, was that a new set of tyres? I'll find out who's in that car whilst we go down to Andrew at Ally Cadillac, and seven times the cup champion Jimmy Johnson.
Well, I certainly am. I'm with a seven times champion. Well, that restart was a bit hairy.
Yeah, it was. And I was trying to pack up, and there were GT cars going everywhere, and I took to the dirt, and thankfully didn't hit anything, and I was able to get back on the track and get the tires cleaned up and get going.
And then you really got into a good rhythm then, I saw.
Yeah, I felt good. We had some damage to the diffuser on the car, and when I was in it, we finally caught a caution, was able to change that, and now the car's performance is much better.
So, I think they did the front and the back, did they?
Yeah, we got the front some other time. It looks like a piece of debris took off the front from one of those flat tires that took place earlier. And then the contact with the 01 at the start of the race took out the diffuser.
Oh, briefly, you were scored as a leader, briefly.
Yeah, I'll tell you, lap sled. We got our main man, Kobayashi, in the car right now, and he'll help close that gap. And now that the car is back to where it should be, I think we'll be much more competitive.
You've come close to winning this in the past, Jimmy. How much does it mean to you?
Yeah, this has really been on my hit list since being a young boy and growing up in Southern California, watching IMSA races at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. So I think Bobby Rahal won like in the late 80s, early 90s when I went to one of those races as a kid. And the cars have always captivated me. I've been very interested in these prototypes, and I'm very thankful for this opportunity with Ally and Action Express Racing.
Also warming up a bit for the coming season in IndyCar. And, of course, the first race is not very far away, is it? Because you're heading off to Florida for that. We'll stay in Florida for that.
Yeah, excited to get to St. Petersburg, Florida for the season opener. And also very excited for my first full season in the IndyCar series. I feel like those ovals might treat me a little better than these street road courses have. But having an amazing time and learning a lot.
We did talk about this in practice, but you had a bit of fun with Zach Brown in the swap, and maybe our listeners didn't hear that. Now we're on race day. I'd like you just to repeat the great fun you had driving with Zach in the Formula One car.
Yeah, that was a really amazing opportunity in 2018. Fernando and I got together and talked about swapping cars, and the Mr. Hendrick and Zach Brown both agreed to make it happen. We did in Bahrain, and that was my first single-seater experience and first time really feeling downforce. And honestly, that's what started this kind of 2.0 thing for me, and then my interest was IndyCar and certainly getting back into a sports car.
Thanks very much. You're going to have a bit of sleep now.
I'll try, but easier said than done.
It is, thank you.
Great to hear from Jimmy Johnson with Andrew Marriott down there. The number 6 Milner Motorsport reported that car had come out of the... out from behind the wall. It did, and on its outlap, it's planted itself firmly in a wall, not behind it, at the International Horseshoe. Full course caution for that car. Meantime, BMW number 24 has gone behind the wall after it came in after the puncture. And also returning to the fray, the 12 Vassar Sullivan Lexus and the 59 Crucial McLaren. Critical information there that is back on the track for the number 59. Many laps down, but running again with a bit of pace. Bump start, push start for the number 4 Chevy Corvette. 4 pit crew trying to get it going. Oh, that is a thankless task. That's not going to work. To lower gear, I think, there. But that's the problem with sequential boxes. You can't get through and put it in the third or fourth to try and bump it and then dip the clutch.
I know what that's like, because in 1995 I was working down in the pit lane. I was doing the scoring for one of the teams, the Euro Motorsport team. Actually, Larry Holt was part of that Multimatic organization as well, running that car. And it was a Ferrari 333 SP, and the starter failed fairly early in the race. So after every pit stop, the car needed to be push started.
Oof.
And by Sunday morning, the everybody in the crew was absolutely exhausted from trying to push that car all the time. So I was about the only guy who hadn't really
put your hands on it.
Exactly. So I got that was the only time I left the box in the entire race for my scoring chart for them. To push start the racing car, and it wasn't a lot of fun, I can tell you.
The engine cover is coming off so at the back now, of course, of the Chevy Corvette, the C8R mid-engine.
That's problems and there.
Well,
for the car that was running in the top half dozen.
48 car, the Allied Cadillac, is back in the pits, just been taken over by Kamui Kobayashi as the the H&R sponsored Milner Motorsport number 6 is rolling again, but I can see movement down on the Allied Cadillac pit wall. Andrew hasn't wandered too far away from there, having just spoken to Jimmy Johnson. Is there any sense of urgency down there, Andrew?
No, there doesn't seem to be, John, and we got the 31 Whelan Cadillac also looks like it's going to come in any moment. So maybe they're just hedging their bets a little bit, but no real urgency down here.
5 and 7, 5 laps only for the 48 Allied car, but 14 for the 31. So I think that's worth a stop if you're more than halfway through.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll all come in, quite frankly, now. Even after the number 48 cars, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 laps of green. It's only a 20, 21, 22 lap stint, so that's... almost a third of the way through a stint. I'm pretty sure they'll come in. It'll be only a splash that they require, so should actually make up some track position.
Corvette has gone behind the wall, and they can push it with more people now. This is the number 4 car that was in fourth position in the GTD Pro category. Shea Adam is down on the pit lane, and I think we heard from João Barbosa already this week, Shea?
I don't think our weekend's complete until we've heard from
It's not
João.
A proper race.
It's not a proper race. And João, everybody makes a lot of big deal about Andy Lally having 5 class wins at the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. You're sitting on 4 right now, searching for the 5th. But we're not going to talk about that until after the race. Sean Creech Motorsports is a very well put together team, and you just handed over to Priyu, Seb, instead of Andy. How much are you enjoying working with him?
No, it's been great. You know, it's new young blood to the team. It's always good. It's a lot of excitement. The guys are really, really excited about just the opportunity to race here, which is awesome. And they do such a tremendous job, as well as Sean Creech Motorsport. I mean, they put a really good car, and we just need to stay out of trouble for a few more hours, and we'll see tomorrow morning what we have.
You mentioned earlier in the media center that it's very difficult to get heat into the tires. As the temperature is dropping, I'm imagining that's not getting any easier.
No, it's not. Actually, I was surprised. Like, by the end of my stint, the temperature is dropping this quick. Really struggling for front grip, which is very interesting. I wasn't really expecting that, but you know, it's a track conditions are not easy, but it's the same for everybody, so we just need to do the best of it.
Well, it looks like there's another LMP3 that is dead stick out on track. Not your car, it's Rasmus Lind behind the wheel of that one. We're going to get a slew of pit stops here. Good luck the rest of the way. Hopefully I don't jinx you.
Thank you.
The safety crew already at the Andretti Autosports car. It is indeed Rasmus Lind behind the wheel of that, and no headlights, no forward motion, and requiring a tow. Arms outstretched from the AMR safety crew member standing in front. That's normally means it's a flat tow. As long as it's not stuck in gear, of course.
Well, I wonder whether this again is that problem.
The two-footed thing, yeah. Trying to keep the engine, trying to keep the heat in the brakes and the tyres. I sort of understand that, but you left foot brake. So I mean, they're all. If it's a two-pedal car, you should really be left foot braking it. And if you left foot brake, there's a lot of times that you've got your foot on the brake and the throttle, there's crossover onto it, and you balance the car.
If you do that, you're going to use more fuel.
That's true.
You try not to do that, and you can cope with it for a second or two. What in that sort of situation?
Okay, but not anything.
But not much more.
So
than
if
that.
You were just sort of tapping the brake or riding the brake just to balance the car in a corner, it wouldn't just cut the engine on you for half a second of.
If you've got full throttle on.
Not if, you've
if you've got full throttle on and you're holding the brakes down as well, then the electronic system thinks the throttle is stuck open.
How interesting.
Yeah.
How interesting.
And that's it's afflicted several people already this weekend. Hopefully it isn't the problem. Well, kind of hope it is the problem.
Scott
there
Dixon leads the race and comes into the pit lane where Andrew Marriott is waiting at pit in.
Yeah, it's absolutely full of these leading cars coming in. Certainly the number 48 did come in, although he had only been out for five laps. Obviously, they're just going to top up with fuel. Actually, they are putting the fresh set of tyres on. I did see Pippo Derani just further down the pit lane climbing into a car. Otherwise, I don't think we've got any climate change. And that was a mass noise of about three different Cadillacs all accelerating down the pit lane at once. That is so exciting.
Around about 16 litres of Cadillac V8 firing up at the same time. The 01 is the last of the Chip Ganassi cars to go. So came in first, will not hold on to the lead there as the number 01 car goes. They're being held at the end of the pit lane. Shea Adam is further down the pits, and we've had some of the other prototypes taking the opportunity to come in as well, Shea.
Yeah, it was just a splash of fuel for Sebastian Priu going out for his first night stint here at Daytona. The Mjolnir cars are both in their boxes. The one that caused this yellow sitting patiently, well, impatiently was the driver's point of view, but patiently from the team's point of view for repairs while the sister car came in for fuel and tires, but it was blocked by its sister car, the one that caused this yellow flag, if you see what I'm trying to say. Trying to right now. That is the roar of the number 7 from 47 Motorsport trying to go back out. Mark Huame's car, when it came into the pit box, very nearly took out the 02, which is Earl Bamber's car, which would have been awkward because those two are friends and do a lot of off-roading excursions together. But for this, the 47 Motorsport machine, they put the new engine cover onto that car. So that was a little bit of cosmetic surgery going on.
Thanks, Shea. Hello to Stephen Gardner, who's been tuned in from the very start, it would seem. But unfortunately, real life got in the way. Had to pop out and leave the house. And not sure which part of the world you're in. But clearly here in the States, it's nice to be able to carry on listening via Sirius XM. And give us a screenshot of the IMSA radio graphics. Meantime, Corvette number 4 in various states of undress and pieces all over the floor in the garage. Shit, that's back in the gasoline alley part of the racetrack. What are you hearing about the yellow and grey number 4?
Good choice of words with gasoline alley there, John. They think it might have been a little too low on fuel when it rolled into the pit box, and when they went to refire it, well, there wasn't enough in the engine. So that could have caused that issue.
Well, they've got it stripped well down, if that's all it was. And they're looking at, I think they're looking at gearbox under the back of that car. There's work with purpose going on, so it's not as if they're trying to find out what the problem is. I think they've identified that. Whether they can fix it easily, I'm not entirely sure. GTs coming in this time, the bulk of which are down with Shea and led in by the 16 blue Wright Motorsport car. Now they've just been very stealthily doing their job and leading on the way in for Richard Leitz, followed in by Mark Miller in the second place GTD. That's Gradient Racing. Good run for Andris and the guys. And then James Davison in the number 32 AMG. Shea Adam is watching those stops.
Richie Leitz has jumped out, and three times the champion from 2021, Jan Halen, has gotten behind the wheel of the Wright Motorsport Porsche. Further up the pit lane, we've got the Gradient Racing Acura in. It is sticker tires for Till Bechtelsheimer. Remember when we talked to him earlier and he was excited about going out at night? Well, he didn't have to wait quite as long as he thought. Mark Miller is out of that car, just waiting on the fuel. We've also got Windward into the pit lane. I believe that was Lucas Auer who was getting into that car, number 57. And the Mercedes is doing fuel and tires as well.
Andrew is down here with Mike Conway just out of the car. Mike's just listening on the headphones at the moment. And Mike, how was that little stint for you there? Pretty hectic, I think.
Yeah, busy. It's getting a little bit quieter with a few less cars out there, but yeah, once you catch a pack of, or a mix of anything really, it's difficult. You can easily pick the wrong side and then you get blocked in and then you get passed. So that happened a couple of times, just a bit unlucky there. But pace was good, car feels pretty quick, so we could do the lap times when we needed to and save some fuel as well. So so far so good, just trying to take it steady, stay up front, stay out of trouble. It's not always
You're battling with K-Mac, having a good battle with K-Mac out there.
Yeah, not trying to get too leery. We have a nice, clean little fight there. But they seemed a little bit better at that part of the race. But, you know, we're going to try stay with these guys and get back in front if we can.
Mike, do you have a different mindset for this sort of race to the WEC? Of course, you're a double world champion at that.
It's similar. But obviously, it's different here. The restarts, everyone's more together. So you've got to be, you've got to have your wits about you for sure. So, but I have some great drivers here. So I always enjoy driving with everyone here.
Excellent. Nice to talk to you. The man from Bromley, Kent.
Incident coming out of the pit lane. AF Corsa Ferrari involved in that one, Jeremy, yeah. With three cars trying to get into the pit exit lane, including the number 32 AMG.
Which was the car that was hit as the number 21 car came out of its pit stall. So I think the 21 car, yeah, it's actually not that not an incident under review. It's an incident involving cars 33 and 24 is under
that's
review.
Seb, number that's Seb Prior at the moment in the Songkran-Crich Motorsport car.
Yeah, which is leading the class at the moment. Number 24, of course, is the BMW.
Ah, which went behind the wall.
Behind the wall, yeah.
Right, so that, I think, was before Seb got into it.
Prio involved in an incident against the BMW.
Yeah, he's done lucky, haven't
he? No.
Andy is here, as is his mum, Jo. I think all the family is here. Saw them earlier on in the week, Wednesday night. Had a good bit of a chinwag, particularly with Jo. Haven't seen her for a few years. And Darren Manning as well, Sean's godfather, is here, sporting a very impressive full set of whiskers.
Yes.
And still as northern as ever. Calls a spade a shovel, possibly with the odd expletive involved in that. Great to see him. I've seen DM for quite a while. He's helping Seb out at the moment, doing a little bit of management work with the young Channel Islander.
And of course, running his sim business base in Indianapolis, which is going very successfully. Just a note here, the number 10... Acura did not make a pit stop on this sequence when all the other cars on the lead lap did, so that has been able to run past those cars and now make up its lap, make up one of its two laps. So now the Konica Monitor Cadillac car number 10 just one lap down from the race leaders as the work goes on, still in the garage for number 4 Corvette.
Yeah, Nick Tandy looking slightly impatient. Got a balaclava on, I think, not because he thinks he's getting in the car anytime soon, but it's actually keeping his head warm. A couple of people from BMW around there as well. They've got the next garage across, so there's work going on there as well in the background to the works BMW. In from getting its lap back is the one of its laps back is the number 10 Acura, Ricky Taylor. So getting fuel only, no tyres for that car. So this is, I think, the first opportunity to get one of the two laps back for that car that they lost after that incident when Will Stevens was in the car and he picked up that puncture.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's exactly what that team needed. I'll come in, take a quick splash and get underway and be on the same sort of strategy with a full tank of fuel as everybody else, and now just one lap down rather than two.
Has anybody from Corvette been able to give you a little more information about that? It's either differential or gearbox. I'm fairly certain about that. Meantime, the 25 BMW, the red, white and black car, is receiving service. So that car was in its problems earlier on, and something the matter with the around the driver's door there being pointed at by the outgoing driver of BMW number 25. They have done driver change. So who brought that car in? It was Jesse Kron who brought that car in. Now, Shea's telling me it's Farfus that brought that car in. Oh, Farfus is in it now. Sorry, Shea. Misunderstood. So the prototype class split is going on at the moment to get the faster cars to the front. Although, in fairness, I think with the, particularly in these conditions, the LMP3s perhaps aren't as quick as the some of the faster GT cars. More Andretti Autosport problems. And where's that on the track?
It's got behind the wall now. So is it behind the pit?
Did he hit the wall leaving the pit? Is there something hanging off that car on the right hand side? And he's doubled straight back into the pit, I think.
Well, he's on the access road, kind of, you know, leading up towards the back of the paddock and the media centre.
Yes.
That's, curious.
It's a very odd one.
Try how he managed to get there.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. They had a problem earlier on when that car was dead stick during the yellow. But obviously they got some motive power on it again. Recent pit stops then for Repinto de Andrade in the number 11 Orica, the 81 Dragon Speed. Josh Pearson's just rejoined. Gar Robinson's gone back out now in the third place Ligier and LMP3, that's the Riley 74. Dan Goldberg out in the 38. Ori Fadani in the number 13 Duquesne LMP3. Augusto Farfus has rejoined in the 25, that was the car that was receiving some attention in the pit lane a moment or two ago. Rasmus Lind back out after his earlier problems for the... Oh, that was the...
That was the Andretti car.
Out and back in through the back door.
Yeah, that's bad news. I mean, that car's now four laps behind. It was leading the class.
And who is it? Maxi Paul in the 71 TR3. Lamborghini Huracan has also just come out of the pit lane and rejoined the circuit. He's quite a long way down, isn't he, in that car. T3 Motorsport North America, to give them their full title. Yes, and that was Maxi Paul that took that car out. I was just checking for that. Well, we're about to go back green and start another racing hour. It's RS2 IMSA Radio. Jeremy Sean, John Heiner from the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, live from Daytona. Great to have your company wherever you are in the world or around the track here. Sirius XM 202, imsaradio.com for sound and vision if there's no network coverage in your territory. And IMSA at IMSA Radio if you want to get in touch with us. The green flag is coming up as we start another hour of motor racing live from Daytona.